But we're going to read the Bible together. Can we do that? Open a Bible, Luke 14. It starts this way, from Luke 14, verse 1. On one Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. Just start with the first verse there. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to a home to share a meal. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to a home. Already the story tells us a lot. It is Sabbath, and everyone in this story cares deeply about the Sabbath. Jesus went to share a meal. The original language says break bread together, which means hospitality is in motion, which means community. Later, generations of Christians will write a song, "Let us break bread together." It is Sabbath. Jesus is breaking bread, and he is a guest. If he's a guest in the home, that means he comes on equal terms. Their ideas and their philosophies and their values are similar. Already we know so much. It is Sabbath, Jesus is breaking bread, and he's a guest in the home. It's the next line of the story. He's a guest in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees. Now there's a church leader in the story. And you know how this goes because we talk about it often. When I say there's a church leader in the story, we can hear the soundtrack, dum, 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 right? The church leader in the story this week. It happened to me again, sitting in the little cafe where we eat often. I'm ordering my salad. The waitress came over and said, "I've been hoping you would come in all week. You're a social worker, aren't you?" You know I love those questions, right, church? So what did I tell her? Yes. Because if I tell her I'm a church leader, what happens? The conversation goes south. Nothing happens. Yes, I am a social worker. There's a church leader in the story, but it could be Pharisees, Essenes, Sadducees. They're really not that different, yet at the same time, what makes them different is distinct. They could be born in the Jewish homeland. They can come from outside of Palestine. They could be Gentile converted. But what they all share in common is a deep commitment to God, and we must always remember that. They share a deep commitment to God, and what they want to know from Jesus is, are you legit? Will you practice the righteousness you preach? Can we see God if we watch you? Can we trust you, Jesus? It might help us today when we read this in the story, Pharisee, we check out because we know how the rest of the story is going to go. There'll be a dispute. They will argue. Jesus will throw them a zinger. Then we'll get the moral of the story. Don't be like the Pharisee. We could go home. But let's read the story this way today. On the Sabbath, Jesus went into the home as a guest. He went into the home of one of the leaders of the Adventists. Can we read it that way together? Are you okay? Because we're going to read it that way together. He went into the home of one of the Adventists. Jesus is in their midst, and then this is what happens. In the home of one of the leaders, Jesus noticed a man suffering from an abnormal swelling of the body. Some of your Bibles will say dropsy. Anyone have that in their Bible? Most of our Bibles just say a swelling. So he's swelling, and it's not a new condition. It didn't just happen. He's in pain. Things are tender, and Jesus notices it. We should make sure we understand the Adventists are watching him. The text says it's a great word in the original language. Their eyes are on him. They are scrupulously attending. They are watching Jesus, but Jesus is watching that man. This is important to us, folks. So it is that Jesus asks the question after he sees this man, does the law allow healing on the Sabbath or not? But they said nothing. Jesus took a hold of the sick man. He cured him. He let him go. He said to them, suppose your child or your ox fell into the ditch on the Sabbath, wouldn't you immediately pull it out? But they had no response. And they ought not have a response because they've just rehearsed this story. Luke 13, just one chapter back, records the very same thing. On a Sabbath, a sick person, it was a woman. The Bible says she's bent over in pain for 18 years. When Jesus heals her, the Adventists say, wait, we have 6 days for you to do that kind of work. This is the seventh day. Save your healing, Jesus. And Jesus responds to them this way, Luke 13, 15, hypocrites. Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie at least your animals, your ox and your donkey? this isn't necessary, that this woman, this daughter of Abraham, that she is bound by Satan for 18 long years, it's necessary she be set free on the Sabbath day. Remember, everyone in the conversation agrees about the day of Sabbath. In the Bible, the day of the Sabbath is never disputed. It's always the way of the Sabbath. What they can't agree upon is what they do with this Sabbath time. And so there's a dispute. It's helpful. Pastor John Brunt at Azure Hills gives us this imagery of a fence. We put a fence around the Sabbath. The day of the Sabbath, special, holy, sacred. We don't want it profaned or violated in any way. So the earliest communities put a fence around the Sabbath to protect it. Their intentions were good because they are what? They're committed to God. And if they protect it, perhaps it will remain holy and sacred. And what they learn early on is that this fence becomes their rules. Oh, early the list of rules were short. Stay in one place. Don't light a fire. Don't carry a burden. And then they begin to ask questions. If we carry an infant, like the babies here, if we carry Savannah, if we carry Milo, is that a burden to carry the baby? They begin to ask questions. It got complicated. And so, as many of you know, it takes a couple of hundred years, and the lists for Sabbath, the way of Sabbath, begin to develop. And the punishments for the way of Sabbath begin to develop. What we ought to remember as Adventist Christians is that they all care deeply about God, they all care deeply about the Sabbath, and none of them practice it the same. So in some of their communities, if there's a bug flying around the room, you're not allowed to kill it, because on the Sabbath, we ought to all be in harmony. Even with the creatures. In other communities, you ought not pray for the sick as we do here every Sabbath because we expect the Messiah to save and redeem on the Sabbath. If we pray for the sick, that shows a lack of faith. So it is that the way of Sabbath has always been a challenge for Christians. And Dr. Brunt helps us by saying, when we put this fence up, eventually, what we find is that when we work so hard to protect the Sabbath, we no longer experience it. It's not even available to us anymore. We cut ourselves off from the Sabbath. So today, some of us say, well, I don't have a fence around my Sabbath in my home. We got over that, and we know sick people need to be taken care of. Remember, we have Loma Linda, and we have health care, and we take care of people, and some of us are going to be nurses and physicians and physical therapists, and we get that. And when Jesus gives us a healing on the Sabbath, we have to pause and read it again. Pastor Devo, when we began this sermon series, said, all these table stories are scandalous. Pastor Sam showed us last week the scandalous character, the rude character, was a woman with her expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus being liberal. The rude character today is Jesus in the story, who walks in and takes control of a home that's not his own and begins to break all the rules. Where are the rule breakers here today? You just always kind of had a bend to breaking the rules? Where are you? You're not telling the truth. Sabbath, this is holy time. Two of us, you and me. The beautiful thing about Jesus, if you are lean towards rule breaking, your Jesus is a rule breaker. All the rules that they've put around the Sabbath, he begins to break them. See, on these Sabbath miracles, most of the healings happen on the Sabbath, and most of those healings people don't ask for. Isn't that interesting? He could just leave the man alone who has the swelling. He's not asking for help. But Jesus takes control of the environment. The man's just sitting there with a plate of food, and Jesus says, I think you need a healing. He didn't ask for it. He didn't have to do it on the Sabbath. It's not critical. He won't die today, which that would be allowed, but he's not going to die today. Furthermore, Jesus doesn't need to touch him. He could just heal him with his words like he does in other healing stories, but not this one. Jesus touches the man with his hands. People believe the man to be sinful, and now Jesus contaminates himself, friends. Jesus breaks all of these rules on a Sabbath. He doesn't break them, do you notice, by carrying firewood or milking a goat or lighting a fire or all those things. Jesus breaks the rules in our story by seeing people and setting them free. He warned us in Luke 4 at the beginning of the gospel, this is coming to you. I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm going to set the captives free. He warned us. While other people are staring Jesus down, Jesus is seeing people. It's his avatar moment. I see you. I see you, and I'm going to do something with that. I see you, and I'm going to respond. Tables ask us to be present, especially our Sabbath tables with Jesus. Many of us will show up for the meal, but we don't know how to be present. Jesus on this day shows us that we're not victims many of us feel like we're victims of God's requirements on the Sabbath. What we all are is beneficiaries of a better story. And Jesus wants this man to know, you're the beneficiary of a better story. And so he puts his life back together again. This is not charity. This is solidarity. And there's a difference. The Sabbath is our day of solidarity. Jesus sees people. So when I'm sitting with the woman in the cafe this week and she says to me, you're a social worker, right? And I say, yes. She says, good, because this is what's happening. And she begins with a very long story, and it's Friday, and I don't have time for a very long story. And now I want to say, I'm clergy, and then she'll go away. But instead I listen. She says, you know, we have a situation. Somebody we work with here, a woman, in her 40s, she's just sort of dropped off the face of the earth. She's dropped off social media. She stopped communicating. This has been several months. Someone went to the house. She's not well. Things are not right. In fact, we think she's in a dangerous situation. Something's happened to her mind and her body, and she needs to see a doctor, and she's living with a guy, and he won't take her, and I'm so glad you're a social worker. How do we fix this? Yeah, but I'm not. No, how do we fix this? Jesus in the story, I'm like, God, I have a Bible open. Here's Jesus seeing people and setting them free. I got to do something. I do what I know how to do. I text a social worker. Thank you. And within 15 minutes, we have the list of resources. We think the woman probably needs adult protective services. And I hope today, as I'm telling you the story, that she's in a safe place. Because this is what the Sabbath is for. The Sabbath, this day where God's loyalty is expressed to us and we receive it, that's just one direction. But the point of the Sabbath, Sabbath by Sabbath by Sabbath, is that God hopes, Jesus hopes, as we receive this loyalty, we begin to extend this loyalty. We extend this loyalty all the rest of the days of the week. So when I'm sitting in the restaurant on a Friday afternoon, and it's been a Friday, and it's been a week, I don't have an old option because I can see her. Friends, we have to practice this kind of seeing. We're here today. Sometimes I'll say to some of you, I'll just look you straight in the eyes and I'll say, how are you? And we'll only have 30 seconds or 60 seconds. Some of you know what I mean. I do this often. My mama taught me, if you look somebody deep into the eyes, you can tell if they're well or not. So that I can always look at my daughters and I know if they're sick, even if they tell me they're okay, I can say, nuh-uh, you're sick. I can tell by the coloring in your eyes. Sometimes I'll look at you, and we only have 30 seconds or 60 seconds or 2 minutes. It's our moment to see each other. How are you? And we need to answer one another, and we need to be prepared for the lack of the answer and the silence and the difficult. You didn't want to know what people were going to tell you. I asked a newlywed couple a couple years ago, how are you? Looking in their eyes, you've been married a year. How are you? Long silence, they say. It's been a year. Okay, you didn't want to know that, did you? Around tables, Jesus tells the truth. And the truth sets people free. It's not charity. It's solidarity. So it is. Many ways we can see each other and extend the loyalty of God. Look at the list just this week in La Sierra. Every Wednesday, that's by the way, what happens at community services when we see. We lock eyes with 150 families and extend God's loyalty. But this week on Wednesday, you can head up to the student center, pack meals for hungry people in Nepal. That's an I see you moment. Now that I know about it, I need to respond. come next Sabbath ready to help these foster care children who are graduating, what would it be to be 18 and be told you no longer have services available to you? That's the emancipated minors. We're about 125 of them. Next Sabbath when you come, there will be cards lining all around the platform. You know what it means to an 18-year-old who's been in the foster care system half of their life to get a card from you they've never met? And you just put a little message in there. The people of this church are praying for you. We're cheering you on. See, we do that next week because a few years ago, Lisa Walker told us there's so many of them. She can see them, and she tells us we can see them, and we need to respond now. It's not charity, it's solidarity. Next week, when we honor all of our graduates, you'll all be standing up here, and it would not be right for us to honor ourselves without looking into the world and seeing the others. It isn't charity, it's solidarity. And now we're giving you several months notice, 6 months notice. I love this idea. Next fall, when we're all back and school's in session, Chaplain Linda Bishwas has told us there's going to be a day on a Sabbath. They'll happen twice, one in the fall, one in the spring, where we think instead of coming to church, we're going to be in the community. And we'll be seeing people and responding to needs. Because the way of the Sabbath calls us to do this, friends. Jesus tells the truth around these Sabbath tables. And the question that comes back to committed religious people like us is, do our traditions still allow God to be God? If what's happening in your home or anywhere around our campuses is not allowing God to be God, we need to revisit it. The loyalty of God gets extended to all people. So look for your moments, would you? Today, before you leave, this week, as we're moving around in your own homes, look for your moments to look into the eyes of one another. This is what proximity is for. If you've invited people for lunch today, then there's got to be good conversation. There's got to be real conversation. There's got to be hopeful conversation. That song that they led us in earlier, Holy Spirit, come fill this atmosphere. Your presence is what we long for. If you need a prayer song at your table where you eat your meals, sing that one. It's your presence, Lord. It's been 14 years since the pastors traveled to South Africa. I can't believe this. 14 years ago, the pastors from this church, we went to do some, you would call it missionary work, I suppose. Pastor Devo took us to his home country and decided that we would all be speaking and teaching at their over their Easter weekend at their camp. It's called camp meeting. If you're not familiar with that term, it's sort of like a revival week. And we did all the things you're supposed to do in South Africa because rhinos crossed the road. We did all of this. We did this. These are my pictures, not National Geographic. And there we are. Look at that, Sam. That's been 14 years ago. I made friends with these kitchen workers while we were there. And you can imagine that a female pastor in their country is very unusual. Made friends with the kitchen workers because this is where I felt very at home. This gentleman, I wish I could remember his name. Just look at the bright eyes he has. He began to challenge me day after day after day to begin to enjoy their cuisine. And not all of it sat well on my palate, I'll tell you the truth. This is a plate of what they call pop. It's sort of like a hominy kind of gritty thing with a salsa, tomato sauce sort of wanting to be salsa, but not spicy, and it's just very different, and it's breakfast. And I'm not sure I'm gonna like it, and he wants me to taste it, and so I tell him, I'll eat a bite if you eat a bite. And so he did, and I didn't like it. But do you know when you're standing that close to people looking in their eyes, what happens? Standing in a man in his country halfway around the world, a man who's grown up in apartheid, and I don't know anything about what that oppression felt like. I'm standing with a man whose country told him he couldn't be fully human. They had a category and a ranking for him. And we sat down at a table with our plates, and we looked into one another's eyes, and I listened to his story, and I thought, I'm just doing what pastors are supposed to do. And I didn't realize while we were sitting there sharing our plate of pop that he was looking into my eyes too. Just the night before, we had had a meeting where a man confronted me and told me that I should probably go home and take care of my family and not be preaching and teaching. That if I would read my Bible, I would know that, and I would also know that God really wants black people to be slaves. And I thought I was okay. I knew I was a little tender, but I really thought I was okay to keep going. And it wasn't until I sat down at the table with this man and the plate of pop and looking each other in the eye, I realized I am so much more fragile than I knew. And he can say to me, I see you. And I know that pain. What a moment to receive God's charity and extend God's charity. We call it solidarity. And this is what the Sabbath is for. So Taita and the team are going to come and sing. As you sing these lyrics as we depart today, Holy Spirit, fill the atmosphere. Just do the chorus twice, Sataita, would you? Let this be our prayer. Consider letting it be your prayer.